We'll be reading 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. The earth grows old like a garment, and those who dwell in it will die in like manner, but the word of God abides forever. The title of my sermon this morning is Patience and Salvation. We saw last time that Peter told his readers to be diligent or expectant about the coming judgment upon Jerusalem. That is, they were to trust Christ's words, what he had said about this judgment. They were to stand upon him and not be intimidated and influenced by the false teachers that were saying something different. Peter also told his readers who they were in Christ. They were shown to be in peace, and they were spotless and blameless in God's presence because of their faith in Jesus Christ. In verse 15, Peter gives further instruction to his readers about the Christian life. And he says to them, consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. So Peter is telling his readers to consider something. He wanted them to think about something, to contemplate and see the relationship or the connection about these things. Consider this, weigh it up, think about it, wrestle with it. He's giving them vital information, and he doesn't want them to miss it. So he tells them to consider it, to concentrate upon it. So he wants them to consider the patience or the long-suffering, another way to translate that, of our Lord. What the Greek does here is just put two nouns together. Patience and salvation. Just plops two nouns together. It's difficult for us in English to make sense of that without a connecting, joining adjective and something. But anyway, that's how the Greek presents it to us. This word for salvation also means deliverance. It means preservation. So you want to keep that broader possibility and meaning in mind when you see the word salvation there. It's got these other broader connotations to it. And so Peter puts these two nouns together, as I said, with nothing between them, and tells his readers to consider the patience, salvation. That's what he's saying in the reading. Patience, salvation, those nouns of our Lord. Long-suffering, deliverance of our Lord. Digg, in his commentary, says, patience conduces to salvation. That is, it leads to, it takes you on, it tends to, it conduces to salvation. Patience leads to deliverance or to preservation. Patience, preservation. Patience, salvation. My Bible seeks to bring this out by saying that long-suffering is salvation. They're inserting the word is, they're just trying to make sense of it, help us to try and understand what Peter is saying. I suggest that by merely placing these two nouns together, Peter forces our minds to connect them very closely. This is who the Lord is. Consider his patience. Consider his deliverance. See how they are intertwined. Patience and preservation are inseparable in the working of God's kingdom. The Lord reveals himself in this way, and Peter tells his readers to consider this reality. Consider this. Focus upon it. If these things are integral to the working of God's kingdom, then what does that mean for those who have been called into his kingdom? Let's listen to Jesus as he instructed his disciples on this matter. Jesus uses a parable to teach this truth, but pay close attention to what brought about the parable. A question was asked him, and Jesus answered that question and then illustrated it in a parable. I'm going to read to you from Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore the kingdom of heaven, goes straight into the parable. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay his master commanded that he should be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave his debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. His fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved, and they came and told their master all that had been done. Then the master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if you, each of you from the heart, does not forgive his brother his trespasses. $10,000 talents. That's a whole heap of stuff. There are 6,000 denarii in one talent. 10,000 talents is 60 million denarii. That's what he owed. And the servant who owed him 100 denarii compared to 60 million. Now, 100 denarii was about a laborer's wages for 3 months. So when the servant asked the other servant to be patient, is it possible that the debt could have been paid off within 1 year? In comparison, the servant that was forgiven, even if he was giving his whole monthly paycheck to pay off the debt, it would have taken him 150,000 years to pay it off. Jesus was showing the relationship between God's patience toward us and how this should impact our thinking and our understanding, and thus also of our relating to others. Remember, patience and forgiveness are inseparable. What was going on here? This patience, be patient to me, and then he forgave him the debt. But they're inseparable. They're very closely connected. You see that if this servant that was originally forgiven the debt, if he had a habit of operating in a state of patience, that he would have delivered himself from a whole heap of trouble. See, patience equals deliverance, equals preservation, equals salvation. He would have been saved from disaster. Just as he had asked the king, so his fellow servant asked him, be patient with me. Where does being patient with others flow from? Where do you think it flows from? Why ought we to be patient? What's the source of that? Do we do it because we necessarily feel like being patient? It's not about feelings, but rather about understanding and having eyes that can see. Our patience with others flows from appreciating how patient the Lord has been and continues to be toward us. You see, God's patience is our source of patience. He is the constant reality of patience. He is our reality. He is in us and we are in Him. His patience with us is eternal. His patience with us is inculturable. And that is the motivation for our patience. So if the servant who owed 100 denarii paid a quarter of his salary per month to pay it back, it would take him a year to pay back what he owed. On the other hand, if the servant who owed the king paid a quarter of his salary, it would take him 600,000 years to pay it back. Kind of puts it in perspective. After he'd been given so much, how could this man have had such a massive disconnect? How do you be so disconnected? How could he be so cold-hearted? Patience delivers, patience saves, patience is salvation. We have been saved by the Lord's patience, and when he opens our eyes to the gospel, we too are able to see the size and the scope of his patience toward us. However, we do need to be exhorted from time to time so that we don't lose sight of the proportion that we have received and continue to receive from him. And we don't lose proportion of what he has exercised toward us and what he calls upon us to exercise towards others. That's 60 million to one. And when we lose sight of that, we lose sight of the need for patience. We become irritated. We become aggressive in our manner, in our demeanor, in our attitude, in our mindset. But what I want you to notice is that the energy and motivation for living a kingdom life and displaying patience comes from also understanding how powerful the kingdom way of life is. So on the one hand, we're acknowledging the great disproportion between God's patience to us and what he calls upon us to exercise toward others. And secondly, we're realizing that we understand the power of that kind of living. We truly believe that. It's powerful. If you don't believe it's powerful, it's very difficult to do. Why exercise patience if it's useless, if it's doing nothing? But if it's incredibly powerful, then we're instructed and we're informed, and our understanding then enables us to act out of that position. Such a way of living is extremely impacting. It is actually the means that God has ordained to fulfill his kingdom purposes. Paul gives two reasons for God's patience in Romans 9 verses 22 and 23. He says, "What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering, with much patience, the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory?" So firstly, Paul says that God's patience is so that he might demonstrate his wrath and power upon the disobedient. And secondly, his patience is to make known the riches of his glory to those who are the objects of his mercy. This is exactly what God did with respect to Noah. Exact same thing. We've already covered that. Peter talked about a time when once the divine long-suffering, once the divine patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls were saved through water. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. The patience of God, the divine patience, was being exercised and delaying the judgment. What would God be expecting from his servant Noah? A preacher of righteousness during that time, what would he be expecting from him? Patience? When the whole world is so evil, at a depth of, to us, hard to fathom, you could become a little bit callous. Confronted that day in and day out, that kind of darkness, kind of, and you haven't even had one convert, 120 years. Get a bit jaded at the end of that. Patience. So much was revealed about God and so much was accomplished with respect to the moving forward of his kingdom through this amazing time of patience that God was exercising, that Noah had to exercise. This is God's plan. Noah had to believe that, had to trust that, and had to function in terms of that, in accordance with the kingdom way of life. Contemplate the depths of the depravity existing at that time and the intense pressure exerted upon Noah and his family. And put into the mix as well the failure of his ministry. And then marvel at God's patience. As all this evil is done before him, all this evil is turned toward his servant, his faithful preacher, and God is being patient, and Noah is proclaiming the gospel and reaching out with the good news to them, and they are refusing to receive the good news. Consider the patience of God. Paul talked about the patience of the Lord toward him when he said in 1 Timothy 1 verse 16, "However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering, all patience, as a pattern to those who were going to believe on him for everlasting life." What's Paul talking about? We're told about Paul in Acts 8 and verse 3. It says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison." Paul himself tells us in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it." God didn't just destroy Saul, the hater of the church. Could have. God was, Paul is telling us, this is Paul of Saul. Paul is telling us he was long suffering toward me so that he might manifest his grace and long suffering to others who were going to believe. What about the recipients of Saul's anger and violence and hatred? The recipients, the ones who actually were dragged off. Their families, some died. What did they have to do during this time? They had to be patient as well. In God's hand. They had to be patient and what? Forgiving when this maniac came into the fold. Very literally have stood next to him in a worship service and your parents had been dragged off by him some years before. Patience. Patience with God's plan, patience with people, patience with how we relate, how we think about stuff. 1 Timothy, Paul says that he was the object of God's immense patience in order to serve as an example to others who would also believe and know the divine patience. The list of kingdom character qualities that is repeated over and over throughout the scriptures includes long-suffering, includes patience. It's one of those things that keep getting repeated. This is what is required. Whether it's the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 or other places, Colossians 3:12, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, patience." Put them on. Understand where they come. What's the source? We don't look around in ourselves to try and find patience. We go to the source. And the source of that, the energizing power of patience comes from Christ. It comes from God. It comes from His example. It comes from His way of life. It comes from the life of the Spirit that He gives to us and comes and dwells in us. Patience. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 14, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, the pathetic ones, uphold the weak." Come on, what's the matter with you? Be patient with all. Patient with all. Can we do that when we understand what patience is, how it functions, why it functions, why it exists, why God wants it, why He implements it in His kingdom, why He moves His kingdom forward through it. And we're going to believe in its power. The power of patience. Patience in the context of imperfection. Patience with all. There are other passages that could be quoted. But one more from Paul where he begins unpacking the definition of love. What does he say? Love is what? My Bible says long suffering. Love is patient. You want to manifest, you know what love looks like? Patience. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4. The writer to the Hebrews exhorted them to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hebrews 6:12. This kingdom way of life trusts in God's plan and in His timing. We might not see it all or understand it all or know quite fully where it's all going, but kingdom living is patient with what is unfolding. It is patient with other people because it knows that God's plan is perfect and so doesn't demand how fast things happen. It doesn't doubt the reliability of God's word because human perceptions balk at the circumstances they find themselves. Do we balk at this? No, we don't balk in this. We're patient in it. I can't see clearly. I'm not quite sure where this is heading, but I'm patient. And that formulates how we act, how we respond, how we relate. Think about Abraham, who was promised so much. You talk about a quick fulfillment of Abraham's promises. No. Long, long, drawn out, difficult process. But we're told in Hebrews 6:15, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Patiently endured. We need to patiently endure with people, with circumstances, with hardships, with all things that God's sovereign hand ordains for us. But we endure by knowing that our patience is a powerful component in the outworking of God's eternal plans. He works through patience. James deals with the same time frame that Peter is talking about and encourages his readers to be patient because the coming of the Lord was at hand. James was talking about the AD 70 destruction of Jerusalem, and we read in James 5, verses 7 through 8. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the latter and the early rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Our suffering in the world is also connected to trusting the Lord's purposes, the Lord's timing, how the Lord does all things. The prophets suffered while bringing God's word to the people. And James says, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. James 5:10, suffering and patience. How do you calculate the patience of a Jeremiah? What he suffered, what he went through, he was doing the Lord's will. He was being faithful to preach the truth of God at a time that was a critical value, that the truth needed to be given to those people. And he would do this and he would end up in the most horrendous situations. Hated and despised, his life was hanging by a thread. Patience. Being patient is a way of life that flows from a solid understanding of who God is, of what He has done on our behalf, and knowing what the powerhouse of the kingdom is, namely grasping the reality that patience is salvation. It is deliverance. It truly is a powerhouse in the working of God's eternal purposes. In all of our relationships and relating, all of our dealings, patience is salvation. Patience is deliverance. Patience is restoration. Not only for the one exercising the patience, but for the recipients of patience. It's preservation for me as I exercise it towards so and so. But it's also salvation for him. That's how God deals. That's how God ministers into their lives. That's why a soft answer turns away wrath. What is that an example of? Patience. Patience with someone who is letting their mouth or their actions run amok. Patience with a fool. Patience with somebody who's undeserving. They got angry. They were losing it. They're in this wrath. Soft answer turns away wrath. Patience. Patience with that. Take offense? No. Deal with it with patience. Why? Because salvation is the goal. Always salvation. Patience is not giving up on righteousness. It's actually investing in righteousness, believing God's word with how do I best attain righteousness in this context? I want to attain it in my way. I want to attain it by these sets of rules that I'm going to implement. Seventy times 7 in Matthew 18 is not reneging on one's duty. I'm not talking about reneging on duty. We are champions of truth and righteousness. We are. That's what we uphold. We're not reneging on our duty, but rather we are self-consciously choosing the nuclear option for the kingdom. What's the nuclear option in this context? Patience. Patience is going to do it. Patience is going to bring salvation. The just are to live by faith in the word of God, and Peter tells us to consider the patience and the deliverance of our Lord. That's how he advances his kingdom purposes. That's how he redeemed us. Patience. Paul tells us this. Paul says in Romans 2 verse 4, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, his patience, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? What's God's patience? God should have snuffed me out very soon in my life. He had every right to. Patience. Why? Question I don't ask. I'm just grateful for God's patience. If God's long-suffering led us to repentance, how do you think he will be working through us to impact others? If his patience brought us there, how does he work through us in the same way? How are we going to have the biggest impact the same way? Do you think long-suffering and patience might be in there somewhere? God's plan. Patience is salvation, but if we can't see that, we can't do it. Consider these things, Peter said. Think about them. Set them firmly in your understanding, because a person can only do what they see. Consider this. Peter drops those two nouns. Patience, salvation. Consider this in Christ, in our Lord. View the whole workings of God, how he has functioned with his world. And say, why do we still exist as a people? Why is this earth still functioning? Patience. He calls us to the same. That we can only do what we see. And an important thing we need to see, or two things, is the power of patience and the 60 million to one proportion of what God exercises continually toward us and what he calls on us to exercise toward others. That's the proportion. Maybe I'm way off. I.e., it's much more than 60 million to one. It's for our hearts. Father, we thank you for the truth. We thank you that you have been so patient with us. And I pray that we would grow in our understanding of the magnitude of your patience toward us. And in understanding that, we would grow in the magnitude of our ability to be patient toward others. We thank you, Lord, that you have revealed these things to us. I pray that you would help us to understand them, help us to embrace them, and work them deep into our hearts so that we might be powerfully effective in promoting your kingdom. We ask these things in the name of Christ, who alone can help us do them. Amen.